Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific stocks are mixed this morning following an overnight retreat on Wall Street. Sydney is trading up 0.5%, Seoul is hovering near the flat line, and Tokyo is down nearly 1%. Investors will have their eyes on SoftBank today amid news that the company has aggressively sold off assets to prepare for what it calls a worst-case scenario should global economies lock down again this winter. SoftBank shares are down 0.7% in early trade. Joining us now to break down all the market action is Vasu Menon. He's Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle. I'm very well. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Investors tapped the brakes overnight on that big November rally in the U.S. A day after the Dow closed in record territory, investors sold off. The Dow and S&P 500 each fell about 0.5%. The Nasdaq dropped a bit less than that. Vasu, now that the U.S. elections are over, except for the Senate runoffs in January, and there have been significant breakthroughs in the development of a COVID-19 vaccine, what do you think will be the narrative shaping investment strategies between now and the end of the year?
Well, Michelle, I think U.S. elections may be over, but you know the markets will still be keeping a very close eye on election-related news. And one of the deadlines to look out for will be December 8th, the safe harbor deadline, where the individual states in the U.S. will certify the elections and also certify the slate of electors who will then go on December 14th to vote for the president and vice president of the United States. So I think that date is an important date that the markets will be watching out for. COVID-related news continues to hog headlines, and you know it's a tug between the bad news as far as the rising COVID numbers are concerned, and the good news as far as you know the vaccine discoveries are concerned. So you know right now the vaccines have upper hand, and we could see more vaccines being unveiled in the coming weeks, which could be positive for the markets. And thirdly, I think what the Fed does mid-December is going to affect the outlook for the markets quite significantly. So the markets are now starting to anticipate that perhaps Jerome Powell and his team will unveil more monetary stimulus come the meeting on December 15, 16, in the absence of fiscal stimulus from politicians in the U.S. And, you know, that could provide a boost for the markets as well. Yes, so Wall Street took a breather last night, but going forward, there are risk factors, but there are also potential good news that investors can look forward to.
All right. I want to pick up on that last point of yours, Vasu. So interest rates still at record lows in the U.S., hovering near zero. According to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, they're not going up anytime soon. So on that point, do you expect easy money is going to continue to boost asset prices in the year ahead?
I think it will, definitely. You know, monetary policy will be a supporting factor for the markets. Liquidity has been a big driver for the stock markets, and it will remain so, I think, going forward. It provides the backstop for the markets because, you know, with all that liquidity sitting on the sidelines, very low interest rates, you know, investors are looking for bargains, and any sharp pullbacks will very often be seen by investors as an opportunity to buy. So the Fed is going to be positive for the markets. I think U.S. politicians are still trying to get the act together in terms of fiscal stimulus. So the Fed has to step in, and I think Jerome Powell will deliver on that front. And that will be a source of comfort for investors.
Vasu, as investors continue to assess which portions of the economy will flourish and which may not moving forward, I'd like to look at a few sectoral headlines with you and get your take on them. Maybe we could start with travel and office space. So Bill Gates says more than 50% of business travel will disappear in the post-COVID world. Do you agree? And what impact could this have on airlines, developers, even REITs?
Yeah, I mean, that's something to really think about. But I'm not sure whether it's going to be as high as 50%. But coming from Bill Gates, you've got to take it seriously. My own feel is that business travel will not disappear altogether. There's still value add in meeting face-to-face. You know, very often, a lot of things are done face-to-face. That personal touch won't really disappear completely. But I think what COVID-19 has forced a lot of us to do is use video conferencing facilities like Zoom, Skype, WebEx. And I think, you know, clearly there's cost savings in doing that. And companies are also under a lot of pressure to cut costs. And so clearly there will be impact on business travel. The companies will downsize in terms of office space. So you're right. I mean, there'll be impact on airlines. There'll be impact on the office sector, on developers that are involved in, you know, commercial activity, commercial space and retail space activity. So something to think about. Many of these companies will have to remodel their businesses. Think of how they can do things differently.
And remodeling is what retailers have had to do that switch to e-commerce. So we know that US shoppers spent less money shopping in October than expected. And many economists point to the failure of the US Congress to pass a new stimulus package as a reason behind the lackluster numbers. What do you read from the slowing retail sales?
Well, you know, the retail sales numbers they came in slightly below expectations. I mean, month-on-month retail sales grew 0.3%. I think the markets are looking at 0.5%. But when you drill down to the year-on-year numbers, they're not so bad because year-on-year, retail sales grew 5.7%, which I think is a very credible number. And if you strip out food and auto and just look at core retail sales, that grew by 7.9%, which is the second best performance since August 2011. So it wasn't so bad, but you're right. I mean, going forward, stimulus is very much needed, and hopefully Biden and the Republican Party will get their act together and deliver at least something that will, you know, keep retail spending going.
Indeed. Let's talk currencies now. Citigroup is predicting that the US dollar may fall as much as 20% in the year ahead. US dollar sentiment has definitely been bearish. But what do you think of this theory, extreme or potentially on the mark?
Well, you know, we're not as bearish as, you know, 20%. We don't have a specific number, but 20% sounds very bearish. Yes, but we are of the view that the US dollar is probably headed for further weakness. You know, Biden's victory, the divided Congress is positive for risk assets, negative for the US dollar. And, you know, I think the US dollar has had a good run for the last couple of years. It's taking a breather now, probably headed south, especially with the easier Fed policy. So, you know, yes, further US dollar weakness, but, you know, if other central banks ease policy as well in a big, big way, then, you know, the US dollar disadvantage will be reduced. And that might be, you know, something that prevents the dollar from falling off the cliff.
Okay. Are there currencies that will benefit as investors switch out from the greenback?
Well, you know, we are positive on Asian currencies. We think Asian currencies will benefit. The fact that, you know, Biden is going to be less confrontational with China means that the Chinese currency is something to look out for. That currency could appreciate with less pressure, threat from trade protectionism. And along with the Chinese currency, other Asian currencies could also appreciate. So I think going forward, the flip side of the weaker US dollar is probably going to be stronger Asian currencies led by the Chinese yuan.
And what about gold and other commodities? Do you think they stand to benefit as well, given the switch away from US dollars potentially?
Yes, definitely. That's one of the factors that's going to drive gold prices higher. We have the view that gold in the next 12 months could appreciate to $2,100 an ounce. So the weaker US dollar is one factor, as you mentioned. I think other factors that are positive for gold would be very low interest rates that are probably going to stay low at least for the next 5 years. You know, and I think the demand for gold, emerging economies, China, if they pick up steam as COVID-19 eases, I think that's going to be good for gold because a lot of retail demand for gold comes from emerging markets, especially China. So we are quite positive on gold for the next 12 months.
Let's turn to the Singapore market now. Vasu, the Straits Times Index is one of Asia's best performing markets yesterday, rising more than 1%. It closed at 27.78, the highest level since June. Now, over the past month, the STI up nearly 10%. Yet despite these gains, it's still in negative territory for the year, down about 14%. So as we approach the home stretch for 2020, and there are just 6 weeks left in the year, what is your take, Vasu, on how Singapore equity could perform during this time as fund managers start thinking about closing out their annual accounts?
That's right. You know, I think in the next 6 weeks, hard to predict, but we at the start of the show, we talked about, you know, what's going to drive investment strategy in the next 6 weeks. And Singapore is a small open economy, takes its cue for what's happening around the world. So if you have positive macro drivers around the world, like, for example, the Fed easing policy even further or more vaccines being discovered, I think that's going to be good news for Singapore because you are seeing money rotate out of growth stocks, in other words, tech stocks, towards value and cyclical stocks. And so essentially that benefits Singapore because Singapore is a large catchment of value and cyclical stocks on the stock market, which is why you're seeing many of the stocks in Singapore perform quite well, especially in the last few days and, you know, last couple of weeks. And so I think that move away from growth towards value cyclical is something that will all go well for Singapore.
Always terrific talking to you, Vasu. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you, Michelle.
He's Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank, Vasu Menon.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.